All people baptized into the Sikh religion are required to carry a sword. The kirpan is a ceremonial sword or dagger that is worn at all times. It's an article of faith that the believer is ready at a moment's notice to defend the faith. This has not always been the case. In the first decades of the teaching of Guru Nanak, the Punjab was an area of religious toleration. The ruling Hindus in northern India had given way to Muslim rulers, and when the Mughal Empire, with its superior firepower, began to overrun northern India in the 16th century, it was a place where there was religious tolerance. The Mughals in general did not replace local authority, and in the place like the Punjab, where there was no clear majority religion, toleration was extended even to emerging religions. And so the revelation of Guru Nanak was not a threat to Akbar. They had a cordial relationship. But it was the fifth guru of the Sikhs, Guru Arjan Dev, who brought great power to the Sikhs, gave the Sikhs a sense of their great accomplishments as a people. The temple at Amritsar was completed during Arjan Dev's time, during his 25 years of leadership. New cities were established that extended Sikhism into other parts of the Punjab. And perhaps the greatest contribution that Arjan Dev made was the collection and publication of all the revelations of the Sikh gurus, and among them to include the revelations that came from Muslim and Hindu sages that were coherent with Sikhism. Arjan Dev was acting in the late 16th century kind of like a Unitarian Universalist, trying to find the truth in all kinds of religion and trying to bring them together, trying to understand the universal in the religious impulse. But to the Muslim emperor, this was a great transgression. Revelation had been sealed with Muhammad, the last of God's prophets. God had finished saying whatever God needed to say. New religious thought had to be derived from what had already been expressed in the Abrahamic faith, in the prophets of Judaism, of Christianity, and of Islam. God had finished, and Guru Arjan Dev challenged that by equating various sages with the thinking of the Sikhs that was not derived from Abrahamic faith. And so Guru Arjan Dev was arrested. He refused to recant what he had published, and he was executed. The first Sikh martyr, executed in 1606. And from that point forward, the wearing of a sword became an article of faith. The derivation of the word kirpan comes from two words, kirpa and an. Kirpa meaning mercy, grace, kindness, compassion. And an, meaning honor and dignity and grace. The wearing of the kirpan today is a reminder that strength is required before grace is extended. This is not unlike Martin Luther King's assertion. What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice, and justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. Perhaps that's the sword that Martin Luther King carried near his heart. Therapist and dancer Gabrielle Roth developed an approach to therapy in the late 1970s called Five Rhythms. She describes her dance practice as a soul journey, moving the body, releasing the heart, freeing the mind. One can touch the essence of the soul. One can heal the essence of the soul. Roth's five rhythms are called flowing, staccato, chaos, lyrical, and stillness. In the practice of five rhythms, one dances improvisationally to world music, very rhythmic music, beginning with first these very flowing footsteps that you improvise for about 10 minutes. And then 10 minutes of sharp movements of the hands and arms and legs and feet. And then about 10 minutes of spastic, chaotic body movement. And then 10 minutes or so of swaying with a group in ways that we begin to explore each other and begin to, with kind of a group dance, make something new. And then 10 minutes of stillness with stretching and compressing and reaching and withdrawing. And yes, at the end of it, you have about a 50-minute therapeutic hour. I danced five rhythms this summer with a small group of strangers, friends and colleagues of a life coach I worked with for a year as she was getting her certification. We had never met in person, and it was kind of funny for me to show up in movement clothes with some people I had never seen before to do this improvisational movement. But she invited me to her home dance studio in Washington, D.C., and together a small group of us danced the five rhythms. During the second rhythm, what Roth called staccato, she shouted something about the sharpness of our motions. It is the difference between yes and no. It is setting a limit. It is denying some things to fully embrace other things. It is a sharp sword that protects you, protects who you are and how you will be. A sharp sword. A sword that protects you, that lets you be, and how. This has been an incredible year for me. You may or may not know that I received a diagnosis of renal cell carcinoma, kidney cancer, in the beginning of October. I had very successful surgery with the removal of a kidney and will be under observation for the next few years to ensure that no secondary tumors emerge untreated. I appreciate the many good wishes that you have extended to me, the many prayers that you have said for me, and please continue to hold me in your best thoughts as I will hold you in mine. But as I lay in my hospital bed in the days of recovery after my radical robotic nephrectomy, I had a chance to think about the events of this year, even recent events, even random events, total coincidences, that after the fact, I strung together and made sense of a kind of preparation for the cancer that I encountered. Reflecting on dancing five rhythms gave me something to think about. This sharpness, this clarity between what one chooses and what one opts away from. Remembering my mistake in preaching in August, and I don't know how many of you were there, but it was the funniest thing. I was talking about the liver, and I kept pointing at my kidneys. My own study of Scandinavian religion before Lutheranism, before Roman Catholicism, a study that was very meaningful for me when I had a sabbatical 9 years ago and went to Iceland. Iceland, a place where while Christianity was adopted in 999, it was adopted with the understanding that religious tolerance would rule in Iceland and that the old ways would not be officially run out of town. And in thinking about that, this notion that Odin was willing to give up one organ to be able to receive a different kind of sight. That Odin had two eyes and was willing to give one so that he would receive the vision, the wisdom that comes from the runes. He gave up one thing and was given in return the sight that the runes reveal. All of these are coincidental, totally coincidental. But curious as these things are, they helped me to think about myself and my future and even my recent year. It's easy in a day like today to somehow portray what's gone before this moment as being bad, negative, something I want to give up, something I want to throw away. And yet I think what's true is I'm here today, the sum of all those yesterdays. All the things I did and thought and the relationships I had, the people I met, the choices I made, the places I worked, the places I played, the places I studied, all of that stuff makes me who I am today. And so I can't just cut that stuff away. We are connected with each other. We are connected with ourselves. We are connected with all of the truth that we carry in the who we are. And we can't cut that away. And yet I wonder if there's a way that we can cut the hold on us that things from the past might have. My sense of guilt for the ways I've wronged people. My sense of sorrow at the ways I've been wronged. My sense of the losses in life. My sense of me being better than other people. All of those things can hold me back from being who I really am and really hope to be. And so maybe it is possible to take the sword, to cut away the things that hold me back. So maybe it's the anchors that I can detach from. But I can never use a sword to somehow judge myself and my past as being only wrong. I hope that maybe giving up a kidney, that there's a wisdom that comes from being able to reconsider all the pieces of what one's life is. And you can't do nothing about it. You can't do anything about that past. You can only do now. We can only do this. And maybe the sharp sword is to say that love will rule. The sharp sword will say there is meaning that we find in being with each other. There are strong aspirations that we have. There are strong relationships that allow us to be and to do. In a few minutes, we're going to burn things in a bowl. And I want to encourage us all to use the swift sword of a pencil, to write down on the little piece of paper that the post-it note I hope is inside your order of service, not to beat yourself up, not to name yourself as wrong and bad and deserving of being sliced up, but rather to think about who you are and who you want to be, and maybe to think about the things that you would like to be released of, to most fully be who you are. Amy is going to light this candle and is going to stand and receive the pieces of paper that you'd like to bring forward and just set them to fire and drop them in the metal bowl. By the way, the fire extinguisher is right here in case we need it. I just want to be sure about that. And the tag says it's good and everything. Not entirely reckless, you know. But this will be the place and the time where we will pour into the bowl the things that we'd like to be free of, the places we'd like to use the swift sword of a pen to describe more fully who we are and what our faith is, and to really affirm, I believe, that there is a love that wants to receive us, wants to be with us, wants to help us most fully enter a new year with joy. Come forward as you will.